Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about Brazil, and more specifically, the petrochemical industry in Brazil. The chief executive of the largest petrochemical business in Brazil, which is majority state-owned, recently came out and warned that he believes that the country could run out of diesel during the peak period this summer if the prices are not adjusted in line with market conditions. Now, as you'll know if you follow the channel, the market price of oil and diesel products has risen dramatically since the start of the Ukraine war. And those prices are getting passed on to the pumps. You'll know when you go to fill up your vehicle that it's a lot more expensive than it was 3 months ago. And in Brazil, this is causing a cost of living crisis, and we've got very high rates of inflation. And the chief executive is under a lot of pressure from the president of Brazil not to increase the prices in line with current global market conditions. And unfortunately, his comments about the potential for Brazil to run out of diesel have caused him to lose his job. And this isn't the first time that the president of Brazil has got involved with this country. This is actually the third chief executive that he's sacked over the last 12 months or so. So in this video, I'll have a look at exactly what's going on right now in Brazil. We'll talk about the political ramifications of all of these increased price levels. I'll then tell you a little about Operation Car Wash, which, if you're not aware of it, was one of the biggest financial scandals in the world. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months in Brazil, what the implications of that are for the global markets, and we'll talk about the impact of what's happening in Ukraine on South America. So before we get into all of that, if I can ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and also please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget, I always include chapters, so it's really easy to skip through sections if you're not that interested in them. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find links to Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and YouTube's Super Thanks feature. Brazil is the largest country in South America and the fifth largest country geographically in the world. Its population is around 215 million, which makes it the seventh largest by that metric. Brazil has a border with every South American country apart from Chile and Ecuador. And those countries include Uruguay, Paraguay, Bolivia, Peru, Colombia, and Venezuela. The country also has over 4,600 miles of coastline. Brazil contains the vast majority of the Amazon River Basin, which is the world's largest river system, and the world's most extensive virgin rainforest. The climate is tropical and subtropical, and the landscape includes wetlands, savannas, plateaus, and low mountains. The capital of Brazil is Brasilia, which has a population of around 7 million. However, Rio de Janeiro is the most famous city in Brazil and has a population of around 13.5 million. Not surprisingly, given the sheer size of the country, Brazil has an abundance of natural resources. Oil was first found in deep water reserves off the coast of Rio de Janeiro in the 1960s. And in 2006, Brazil found further reserves in an area called the pre-salt region, as the oil is trapped beneath 2,000 meters of salt. In addition to oil and gas, Brazil also has an abundance of minerals, including iron ore, copper, and gold, and also has extensive agriculture, which produces large quantities of soybeans, sugar, corn, and coffee. As a result of the abundance of raw materials, Brazil has a positive balance of trade and runs in a surplus. Despite having large reserves of oil, Brazil is still exposed to oil prices globally, as prices are marked to market, and also Brazil imports a lot of different other grades of oil. And as the world started to emerge from the pandemic period, inflation started to take off in Brazil. And inflation in Brazil has been rising rapidly over the last 12 months. The Brazilian authorities reacted quickly to this and were one of the first countries to start implementing interest rate increases during 2021. These interest rate increases started to have an impact in December when Brazil saw a fall in its rate of inflation. However, since the start of the Ukraine war and the global increase in oil prices, inflation has taken off and is now above 12%. Petrobras is the largest Brazilian oil company. The business was founded in 1953 and is now majority state-owned. The company has over 40,000 employees and produces more than 2.8 million barrels of oil per day. Petrobras has proved reserves of 8.8 trillion barrels, operates 67 different oil drilling platforms, owns 13 oil refineries in Brazil, and has a fleet of 131 oil tankers. It has also installed almost 5,000 miles of oil pipelines in South America and nearly 6,000 miles of gas pipelines. The shares of Petrobras were listed on the New York Stock Exchange in September 2010. However, the Brazilian government retained a 64% shareholding, giving it majority control. The combination of the majority shareholding held by the Brazilian authorities, together with rising oil prices and rising inflation in Brazil, has led to a recipe for disaster for the chief executive of this company over the last 12 months or so. The president of Brazil is an outspoken individual, and he's been applying a lot of pressure onto Petrobras not to pass on the global increase in oil prices to the Brazilian markets. He's saying that Petrobras should use the profits that it is earning to provide a subsidy to Brazilian nationals and make sure that the price at the pumps is below what it is in the rest of the world. Now, clearly, this is a very difficult situation if you're the chief executive of Petrobras, because your largest single shareholder is basically saying, do not take profit, use your profit for the good of the people in Brazil. However, if you're a company that's listed on the New York Stock Exchange, you have to act in the best interests of all of your shareholders. And a third of your shareholders are international investors who are holding your stock because they want the value to go up and because they want to be paid dividends. They don't hold those shares for the benefit of the population of Brazil. So we've got a real conflict of interest here between the government of Brazil, who are looking at inflation and what's going on with the cost of living, versus investors who are putting their money in on the basis of making a financial return. So this has proved to be a major issue for Petrobras. And in April 2021, the president of Brazil ousted the chief executive of Petrobras for not agreeing to his proposal to reduce prices in Brazil. A new chief executive, Joaquim Luna, was appointed in April 2021. However, the new chief executive came out and stated that Petrobras did need to apply market rates to Brazilian pump prices and therefore was not going to comply with the president's request to reduce the prices at the pumps. Since the start of the Ukraine war, we have seen a dramatic increase in oil prices globally. And because of the pressure being applied by the president, Petrobras was slow in passing on the price increases. However, on the 10th of March, which was around 2 weeks after the start of the war, when we saw prices go significantly above $100 per barrel, Petrobras announced that it was increasing all of its prices, and this was the first price increase that it had introduced for 57 days, which is significantly slower than the vast majority of countries' introduced price increases. The company announced that gasoline prices were to be increased 19% and diesel prices 25%. It also advised of a price increase of 16% on liquefied petroleum gas, which was the first price increase for 152 days. Despite these large price increases, the domestic price of gasoline and diesel at the pumps was still around 20% below the market rate. So you can see that Petrobras were between a rock and a hard place here. They were coming under a lot of pressure from the government not to increase prices at a time when market rates were going through the ceiling. As a direct result of these price increases, the president of Brazil fired the chief executive of Petrobras, which meant that he'd fired two chief executives in a 12-month period. On the 14th of April 2022, the former Secretary of Oil, Gas and Biofuels at Brazil's Mines and Energy Ministry was appointed as the new chief executive of Petrobras. The new chief executive undertook a review of prices and analysed whether or not Brazil would be able to have lower prices than the market rates. In an internal presentation, the Petrobras management alerted the Brazilian government that pumps could run dry during the key soybean harvest season if the company does not sell fuel at market prices. Petrobras said that the firm and other importers would struggle to secure diesel amid the most severe shortage of the fuel in 14 years. And the reason for this is that Brazil imports the majority of its diesel, and that diesel is used by all of the trucking and transport firms to move all of the raw materials all around the country to get it onto the ships to be able to export it. As a direct result of this statement, the new chief executive was fired from his position on the 24th of May by the president of Brazil, making him the third chief executive to be removed in 13 months by the government. In addition, the president also fired the Minister of Mines and Energy due to the fact that he had come out and stated that Brazil have to sell their oil and fuel at market rates. In view of the forecast for Brazil to potentially run out of diesel, I thought it was worth touching on diesel and whether or not there are global concerns. Diesel and gasoline are both produced from crude oil by refineries. Out of a standard 42-gallon barrel of crude oil, a refinery will produce around 20 gallons of gasoline and around 12 gallons of diesel. So this partly explains why diesel is more expensive than gasoline, as you get less of it from every barrel of crude oil. The boom in demand that we've seen since the end of the COVID-19 pandemic has exceeded the capacity of refineries around the world to make enough gasoline and diesel. And this has led to a reduction in the amount of stock that's being held in North America, Europe, and Asia. Stock levels of diesel at the end of April had fallen to 378 million barrels in Europe and 105 million barrels in the USA, both of which are the lowest levels since 2008. As a result of these falling stock levels, refineries are now adjusting their production, and this has resulted in a reduction in the amount of gasoline. And the gasoline stock levels at the end of April in the USA were at 220 million barrels, which is the lowest seasonal level that we've seen since 2014. So what this data tells us is that the combination of the increase in demand that we've seen over the last 12 months as a result of the ending of the COVID-19 pandemic and the massive increase in prices that we've seen as a direct result of the Ukraine war has meant that all of the stock levels are now falling to their lowest level for a considerable period of time. Refineries are struggling to meet current levels of demand, and because prices are so high, this is a good time to sell some of your stock because you can cash in and make some extra profit. However, there is a danger that this becomes a vicious circle. As stock levels start to deplete further, prices will rise more and we will have more pressure on the refineries, and so it will go on, and that means there is a real danger that we could see the pumps run dry in various countries around the world, not just in Brazil. If you follow the channel, you'll know that I like a good financial fraud, particularly ones that involve companies that are listed in the USA but have most of their operations outside of the country. And Petrobras ticks all of the boxes here. So I thought I'd mention very briefly about a scandal that hit the company in 2015. I'll just touch on the details briefly here because they are quite interesting and also relevant to what we're talking about in this particular episode. But there may well be some scope for me to stretch this out and make a whole video on this topic. In March 2014, Brazilian police launched Operation Car Wash, which had originally focused on an organised crime syndicate that were laundering money through petrol stations and car washes. Following their initial investigations, the police soon realised that the criminals were working on behalf of an executive at Petrobras, Paulo Roberto Costa, who was the director of refining and supply. The police soon discovered that Costa was working with other Petrobras directors, and these directors had been deliberately overpaying on contracts with various companies for office construction, drilling rigs, refinery, and exploration vessels in exchange for guaranteeing the contractors these extremely lucrative contracts. The directors were paid between 1 and 5% of every deal into secret slush funds. After diverting millions of dollars into those funds, the Petrobras directors then funneled the money to politicians who had appointed them in the first place and the political parties that they represented. The main objective of this part of the racket was to fund the election campaigns to keep the governing coalition in power. But it wasn't just the directors of Petrobras and the politicians who benefited. Everyone connected to the deals received a bribe in cash, or sometimes in the form of luxury cars, expensive artworks, Rolex watches, $3,000 bottles of wine, yachts and helicopters. The total value of all of the fraud involved in these deals was in the billions of dollars, and huge sums were deposited into Swiss bank accounts or laundered via overseas property deals or through smaller companies. The means of transferring all of the cash was deliberately complicated in order to hide the money's origin, and prosecutors even discovered that there were elderly people who'd been flying from city to city with shrink-wrapped bricks of cash strapped to their bodies. At the time of this scandal, Petrobras was the largest company in Latin America by valuation. It was responsible for providing hundreds of thousands of jobs, both directly and indirectly, and accounted for over 10% of all investments in Brazil. Now, there is a lot more detail to get into on Operation Car Wash. I don't have the time during this video. We're actually here to talk about diesel prices and what's going on in Brazil. But I thought it was worth mentioning. If you're interested in me making a separate video on this topic, please drop me a comment below and I may consider doing that. But the point of mentioning what happened as part of Operation Car Wash is really to show the relationship that's existed between Petrobras and politics in Brazil historically, and also to show how big and powerful this company is. So it really is both a very important part of the oil business in Brazil, but also of the whole economy. And it really highlights the problem that they have in the country right now in terms of the tug of war between setting a price that is in line with the global markets or setting a price that actually helps the people of Brazil. And of course, one of those is a political issue and one of those is a business issue. And what we've got here is a very interesting mix of business and politics. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to make this video to highlight a number of issues that are relevant here. Firstly, it shows once again how the impact of what's happening in Ukraine right now is being felt all across the world. Latin America is a long way from Eastern Europe, and I would bet that the vast majority of people in Brazil have never even heard of Ukraine before this crisis started. But the price of oil being pushed up as a direct result of the war is now having an impact on both the Brazilian economy, Brazilian individuals, and the people who are working at Petrobras. So the Brazilian president has been applying pressure for some time onto Petrobras because of the shareholding that the Brazilian government has in the company. Now, that's something that should never really happen. If you've got a dominant shareholder who's telling the company what to do, that's an unhealthy situation. But when that dominant shareholder is a government of your country, it applies a lot more pressure. So the chief executive of Petrobras has been coming under pressure for some time. And as a direct result of that pressure, one of the previous chief executives was fired in April 21 and replaced by a new guy who the president was hoping would implement a policy of not passing on market prices. That new chief executive ultimately could not live with the price movements that we saw after the Ukraine war. And in March, 2 weeks after the start of the war, it was announced that Petrobras was going to be increasing its prices, albeit the price increases were significantly below the market movements. So they hadn't passed on the full effect, but they were passing on some of those effects. And as a result of that, the president then sacked the new chief executive, and we had a third chief executive who was brought in at the start of April 2022. Now, that guy was in office for around about a month, and at the end of that month, he decided that it was absolutely right that Petrobras should be passing on all of the movements in market prices, and so he made that announcement, and he's now been fired as well. So we've got another guy who's due to start in the job shortly, and he will be under a lot of pressure from the president of Brazil not to pass on market prices. So what we're seeing here is, as a direct result of the price increases that have been brought about by the war in Ukraine, two chief executives of Petrobras have been fired, and the new guy is going to be under a lot of pressure to do something about the situation. So this is really an untenable position, because it's impossible for a company that is listed in New York that also operates in a market where everybody knows what the price of a barrel of oil is. It's impossible to offer discounts in your home market. It just doesn't work. And also, Brazil has to import oil as well, and it's paying market rates for that oil. So this is really an uneconomic situation. It's impossible for Petrobras to be able to offer Brazilians a discount without making massive losses. But the other point that I wanted to mention as part of this video, which I think is relevant to everybody, is that what we are seeing at the moment is the world is running down its inventory of oil. Because we've got a combination of increased demand and very high prices, now is a good time to delve into your stocks and to cash in to make extra profits. But there'll come a point at some point very soon where we get to crisis levels, where the stock has become so depleted that it's causing real concerns. And once we get to that point, we will see prices taking off even higher. So if that does happen, we could be talking about $200 a barrel again. The start of the Ukraine war, there were concerns that oil was going to get up towards those levels, but it's stabilized back down to around $100, $110 a barrel. However, as this war drags on and the stocks of gasoline and diesel get depleted further, there is a very real chance that prices will go up and stock levels will continue to go down. And what's happening right now in the oil markets, and particularly with gasoline and diesel, is causing major concerns that we could be heading for a period of either stagnation or a huge recession. Those two eventualities are looking more likely the longer that this war drags on. So hopefully you found what I've said today interesting, informative and educational. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, very, very quick update on Joe Blogs 2. It's now live, we're monetized, we're ready to go. I need some content. If you're interested in providing some content, then please message me and we can have a chat and we can hopefully get your video up and running on the channel. So if you've been thinking about making a video, now's the time to put it together, have a go, produce something. Let's put it on the channel and see how it goes. So thanks very much for watching this part of the video, and thanks for watching this whole video all the way through to the end.